In the 1920s, America was plagued by violence and organized crime. These were the days when crime on contract had its birth.
You'll get the 500 after you kill him.
The Prohibition Act had just been passed, a law forbidding the sale or consumption of alcoholic beverages. But this law swung the doors wide open for small-time gangsters to organize themselves into nationwide bootlegging operations. Bootlegging was the term used to describe how these gangsters illegally brought whiskey or other alcoholic drinks into the U.S. from Canada. Once the alcohol was in the States, it was distributed to various cities such as New York, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, and Chicago, where the local gang controlling that city would then sell it to the public in their speakeasies or clubs. Frequently, wars broke out between rival gangs for the control over a certain area or city. This is the true story of a small-time gangster who grew up in the slums of Brooklyn, New York, but later arose to become America's greatest, most famous gangster of the 20s, the ruler of Chicago's gangland, police and politicians, and the literal king of Chicago and Midwest bootlegging. His name? Al Capone.
Tanti auguri a te, tanti auguri a te, happy birthday Alfonso, happy birthday to you.
Auguri.
Hey, that Mama, that was a really good meal, and I want to thank you for the cake. It was delicious.
Grazie, tesoro. That was a special meal on a special day for a special boy. Il bambino mio, my baby Alfonso, an 18-year-old man.
Hey, I don't know what to say except you're the most wonderful family a guy could ever ask for. But if you'll excuse me now, I gotta go.
Ma no, Alfonso. You have to go so quickly.
Oh, Mama, you know, I gotta go. Ciao.
Si. Ciao, bello.
Al, I come at you down one moment.
Yeah, sure, okay, Papa.
Al, you're still not hanging around the John Tordion as a bunch, are you?
Well, Papa, you know, a guy has to...
Al, you're gonna get yourself into big trouble.
Papa, you don't understand. Society already made up their minds about us. You can read about it in the sociology books. We find that the Italian immigrants have greater criminal tendencies, blah, blah.
Mamma mia, Alfonso.
Papa, all you and Mama have known is exploitation from the minute you set foot in this country. What kind of a job can you get if you're an Italian? You want me to sweep the streets? Or sell tomatoes in some fruit and vegetable stand? You're one of the fortunate ones, Papa. But I don't have the patience like you do to stand cutting hair in some barbershop all day for the rest of my life.
You're not gonna change the way things are by breaking the law.
Papa, those laws were made by the rich to enslave the poor. And the police and politicians that are running things are there to see to it that things stay that way.
Alfonso.
Papa!
Listen now, your papa.
Papa, my loyalty is to this, right here, my family. And one of these days, I'm gonna see to it that we're gonna have our share of this so-called American way. And I'm gonna have enough money so that none of us is ever gonna have to live in a stinking, rat-infested hole like this again. Ciao, Papa.
Al, good to see you.
Hello, Johnny. What is it you wanted to see me about?
Al, I got a job for you to do down at Duffy's department store.
What's the problem, Johnny?
Well, they've been refusing to pay our protection money, so, I was thinking that maybe you could go over there and, talk things over.
Yeah, I can kind of let them know what could happen if they don't let us protect them properly.
You got it, Al.
Hey, Johnny, since I'm here, I wanted to mention something about Latino's gang.
Yeah, I already know all about it.
You know, they're getting to be quite a big operation. And just to keep them from getting any funny ideas about who's running things, I think we ought to take one or two of them for a ride, Johnny.
Hey, Al, when you gonna get smart? You go out and shoot a couple of Latinos' boys, and then they're gonna shoot a couple of our boys. And before long, every punk in this city is gonna be shooting somebody else to get a bigger share of territory.
But, Johnny, you're not gonna sit back and let them push the way into our territory, are you?
Look, Al, you know I never hesitated to take somebody for a ride when that was the only solution, right?
Yeah, that's right, Johnny. I ain't calling you a coward.
Now, look, Al, if we want to get to the top, we need to sophisticate ourselves. We need to try diplomacy. We need to form alliances and make an effort toward peaceful cooperation among the gangs. You got it?
Yeah, Johnny. It makes sense. Why, there must be enough money in this country for all of us to get a share without going around blowing each other's brains out.
Hey, Al. Hey, now you're getting smart.
All right, Johnny. I'll get over to Duffy's and see if I can peacefully persuade Mr. Duffy not to get himself hurt.
Can I help you, sir?
Oh, yes. Excuse me, miss, but I'm looking for Mr. Duffy.
Right this way, please. I'll show you to Mr. Duffy's office. Excuse me, Mr. Duffy. There's someone here to see you, a Mr...
Mr. Capone. Thank you very much, Miss...
Miss Coughlin.
Miss Coughlin.
If you'll excuse me, Mr. Capone.
Yes, yes. Come in. What can I do for you, young man?
Mr. Duffy. My name is Al Capone. I represent the John Torrio Protection Agency and...
Look, Mr. Capone, your people have been in here before, and I don't need any protection, thank you.
Well, before you make any final decision, Mr. Duffy, I thought you might want to take a look at this price list first.
Sluggings, $5. Fires and stealings, $20. Kidnapping, $50. But what kind of a price list is this?
Well, you see, Mr. Duffy... These are things that could happen to you and how much people get paid for doing it if you're not properly protected by us.
Listen, Mr. Capone, I have insurance, thank you very much. Besides, who would attempt these crimes on this price list?
Well, to be honest, Mr. Duffy, we would. I'll be back next week for your decision. Do think it over. Goodbye, Miss Coughlin.
Goodbye, Mr. Capone.
Miss Coughlin, you do have a first name.
It's May.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. I met you at a party a few weeks back. Do you remember? My name is Al.
Oh yes. I think I remember, Al.
Miss Coughlin, I mean, May, if I can call you that. You think it'd be too forward of me if I was to invite you out for dinner tonight?
I don't know.
Hey, look, it's 5:00. It's quitting time for your work, and I know this fantastic restaurant, Julio's. I know you'd love it.
Well, I don't... I suppose it'd be all right. I can call my parents from there and let them know I won't be home for dinner.
Oh, that's great.
Goodbye, Mr. Duffy. I'm leaving now.
Yeah, goodbye, Mr. Duffy. I'll see you next week. This is it, Kathy. Pull over here and wait for me. I'll just walk the lady to the door.
Thank you so much, Al. For the dinner and for such a wonderful evening. I can't remember when I enjoyed myself so much.
Yeah, me too, May. Do you think I could see you again?
I suppose so.
How about tomorrow night for dinner?
All right.
And then Wednesday we can go to the movies. And Thursday there's a ball game. The Brooklyn Dodgers are playing Chicago. And then Friday we could...
Al, let's take it one day at a time, okay?
Sure. Okay, May. Good night.
Good night, Al.
And so in 1918, the already well-recognized young hoodlum of the underworld, Al Capone, married May Coughlin, a tall, slim, pretty Irish girl. And the following year, she bore their first and only child, Albert, later nicknamed Sonny.
May, he's so beautiful.
I'm so happy, Al. I know you wanted a boy.
Hey, little guy, how about a smile for your papa?
Look, Al, he's smiling at you.
You know, May, having a beautiful little bundle from heaven like this really gets a guy thinking. You know, I'd like to try to go straight. You know, get a legitimate business so that Sonny here can be proud of me when he... I'll see who that is. Hey, Johnny, come in!
Hey, paisana! How's the proud papa, huh? Hello, May.
Hello, Johnny.
Hey, Johnny, how's things in Chicago? Here, let me pour you a drink. to the best friend a guy could have.
And the best godfather son he could have.
Hey, how's my godson? Hey, look at that. He's growing fast. Hey, you know, I've been thinking that we need to invest in Sonny's future. So, I came to a decision. Yeah, May, you take this, huh?
Johnny!
What is it, May?
It's a $5,000 bond made out in Sonny's name.
Yeah, that's right. And being that I'm Sonny's godfather, with your permission, I'm gonna give him one of these every birthday. You got it?
I don't know what to say, Johnny.
Well, I do. Thanks so much, Johnny. If you'll excuse me, it's time for Sonny's nap, and I'm sure that you two must have a lot to talk about.
I love you, honey.
I love you too, Al.
Okay, what's up, Johnny?
Al, the heat's on. The police are out to nail you.
Hey, what's this, Johnny? The cops have always been out to nail me.
No. Not like this, Al. This time things are really hot.
Well, you have any suggestions?
Yeah. Chicago.
Chicago?
I told you about my Uncle Jim, didn't I?
Yeah. Big Jim Colosimo.
Yeah, that's him. He's running most of the rackets and vice enterprises in Chicago. And Al, Uncle Jimmy likes the way you operate. He wants you to come. We need your help, Al, to get things organized.
It sounds good, Johnny. But if the cops are so hot on my tail here in New York City, don't you think they'll get word of me being in Chicago and pick me up there?
Yeah, paisana. John Torrio, he thinks of everything. You see, what I didn't tell you yet is that Uncle Jim is under the protection of the politicians and police of Chicago. They're all on his payroll. You got it?
Chicago's sounding better all the time, Johnny.
Look, Al, I got reservations for the train worked out already. Tomorrow night at 7, we meet at Grand Central Station. There, two of the boys are going to meet you and take you to the train. They're going to put you on the train.
Would you care for a drink, Mr. Torrio? Mr. Capone?
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Well, Al, what do you think? You're beginning to change your opinion of Chicago?
You know, I had my doubts at first, Johnny. But this place starts growing on you after a while. Yeah, I think I'm gonna like it here.
Wow! Hello, Johnny.
Hey, hi there, Bill. You enjoying the party?
You know, Johnny, there's not a party that your Uncle Jim has that I don't enjoy.
Hey, Bill, I'd like to introduce you to a very good friend of ours from New York City. This is Al Capone. Al, this is Big Bill Thompson, the mayor here in Chicago.
How do you do, Mr. Thompson?
Pleased to meet you, Al. And what's this Mr. Thompson stuff? You can call me Bill.
Yeah, sure. Okay, Bill.
Hey, Bill. Do you have the answers about the favor that Uncle Jim asked you?
Yes, I was just looking for your Uncle Jim to tell him the good news. He's got the permission to build the new nightclubs. I worked it out with some friends.
Hey, Billy's gonna be real pleased to hear that. Yeah. I saw him a minute ago walk out on that balcony.
Johnny, that shot came from the balcony!
Yeah, let's go!
All right, get back! Get out of the way! Get out of the way!
Oh my God, Al. They shot him. Al, they shot my Uncle Jim right through the head.
After the death of Big Jim Colosimo, Torrio and Capone took over in his place and began to initiate a plan to bring peace and cooperation amongst the various gangs of Chicago.
To keep the clubs open. Now, we believe that there's enough money in Chicago for us all, and it's our hope that we can work together and put a stop to gang wars and bring peace. Now, Mr. McGregor has promised to keep the whiskey rolling in from the Canadian side.
Hey, Al, I'm beginning to like this. We get organized just like the big business boys do.
Yeah, that's right, Lucky. Just like the big business boys do.
Okay, I guess we could consider this meeting adjourned for now.
Hey, Al, there's a telegram for you.
Hey, let me have it. Oh, no. Oh, God.
Hey, what is it, Al? Hey, Al, what's the matter?
Papa. Oh, Papa. He's dead. He died of a heart attack yesterday. Here's your new house. 7244 South Prairie Avenue, Chicago. What do you think?
Oh, Alfonso, it's so beautiful. And May, it's so big.
Mama, I'm so sorry I didn't get the place built in time for Papa to see it. If I would have only...
Oh, Alfonso, it's not your fault.
Al, look over there. It's Lucky.
Hey, Lucky, pull over. Mama, why don't you and May go inside and I'll be in a minute. Come on in, Lucky. You're just in time for a housewarming party.
Hey, sounds great, boss. I've got something else we can celebrate, too.
What's that, Lucky?
You've just been made Deputy Sheriff of Cook County, recommended by the mayor of Chicago himself, Big Bill Thompson. And I think it's gonna be real beneficial, Al.
Yeah, that's right, Lucky. Being a sheriff makes you legally authorized to carry a gun, doesn't it?
That's right, boss.
I do hope that's beneficial, Lucky. Because I don't want to end up with a bullet in my head, like Uncle Jim.
Al, lunch is ready.
Okay, honey, I'll be there in a minute. Lucky, tomorrow I want you to drive me down to Cicero. And I want to check things out. I want to find out who's causing the trouble.
During this time, the citizens of the Chicago suburb of Cicero began to rise up against Capone's illegal businesses, which were now earning him $10 million a year. At this time, Capone's life was so in danger that no life insurance company would even sell him a policy, and he was forced to travel about in a bulletproof limousine for his protection.
Al, I don't really agree with you coming down to Cicero like this. You never know what these crazy people might do. Hey, Al, you look a little down. It's those bad newspaper articles, huh?
It's not just that, Lucky. It's this thing with my son. It really hurts. The doctor says Sonny's going to be deaf for the rest of his life.
Yeah, boss, but you know they have all kinds of new devices and hearing aids.
It still hurts, Lucky. A little 7-year-old boy like that, so full of life, having to wear one of those things. Those things are for old men, not bright young kids like Sonny.
Yeah. Yeah. Now?
What is it, Lucky?
Okay, thanks, George. It's George. He said a big mob of people just burnt down our nightclub on Maple Street, and they're headed this way.
Why, I see them. They're coming down the street.
Al, we'd better get out of here.
If any of you lay a finger on this
boss,
nightclub...
Let's go.
There's Capone. Get him.
Wait. Stop the car. Al, get in.
Mr. Capone, can you tell the press why you suddenly called this conference?
I've called you newspaper reporters together to announce my retirement from business and my departure for sunny Florida.
Mr. Capone, has the burning down of your nightclubs influenced your decision to leave the Chicago area?
My dear woman, those hypocrites screaming for my blood in the daytime are the same ones drinking my liquor at night.
Now that Mayor Thompson has turned against you, Mr. Capone, has your opinion of him changed?
My friend, there's one thing worse than a crook, and that's a crooked politician. A man who pretends he's enforcing the law, and he's really making money out of somebody breaking it.
Mr. Capone, are you referring to Mayor Thompson or city and government officials in general?
Madam, I'm saying if the shoe fits, wear it.
Could you give a comment about the recent gangland killings?
Regarding the gangland killings, it's the law of self-defense. I think the way God looks at it, is you're defending your business and your wife and your children.
So, Mr. Capone, you consider the gangland killings justifiable?
If you look back at history, you'll see that there have been whole wars fought between countries to protect somebody's interest. In other words, somebody's business. And they've killed millions of people. So if you're so concerned, why don't you write something about that, huh?
Mr. Capone, one final question. It's been rumored that you've tried to get out of the rackets, but to no avail.
Yes, I've tried to get out, but they trail you. And you fear death. And worse than death, you fear rats.
Rats, Mr. Capone?
Yeah. You know, some so-called friend that'll set you up for your enemies to kill you. Every minute, I'm in danger of death. And I haven't had peace of mind in years. If you'll excuse me now, I've got a long trip ahead of me, and my wife's waiting for me in the car.
Mrs. Capone, what's it like being the wife of Al Capone?
The public has one idea of my husband. I have another. I will treasure my memory, and I will always love him. Good day, sir.
So in 1927, Al Capone headed for Miami. However, Capone still carried on his gangland business enterprises by telephone and messenger. Capone enjoyed the Miami life and threw big parties for hundreds of guests, which included many celebrities, Broadway stars, racketeers, and politicians.
Hey, paisana, you come a long way from the poor boy in Brooklyn to this. Hey, Al. Al, isn't that Al Jolson over there?
Yeah, that's him. A lot of the Broadway stars come down here whenever they can get away from New York. Come on with me, Johnny. I'll introduce you to a few.
Oh, no, Al, no.
Hey, come on. What are you getting shy? Come on.
Excuse me, Mr. Capone.
Pardon me, gentlemen. Yes, what can I do for you?
I'm Elaine Ferguson from the New York Times. Mr. Capone, confidentially, what do you know about the St. Valentine's Day massacre that took place in Chicago, in which some of your major enemies were killed?
Well, confidentially, it was like this, Miss Ferguson.
Yes, yes. Go ahead, Mr. Capone.
I was in the district attorney's office in Miami at the time of the massacre, and I don't know any more about it than you do.
But, Mr. Capone, some of your enemies have accused you of having a hand in it.
Look, lady, I warned most of those guys for years to stop playing around with the rough stuff and work together. But no, they wanted it all, and now they got nothing. If you'll excuse me, Miss Ferguson, I got a train to catch tomorrow morning to Atlantic City, and I'm pretty tired.
In Atlantic City, a very important gangland conference was being held with Al Capone's friend, John Torrio, as its chairman.
All right, quiet, please. Let Johnny finish.
We hereby agree to work for peace and join together in a defensive, non-violent alliance dividing the country into separate spheres of influence. Is there anyone that wishes to make any final statement?
Yeah, Johnny. I have a little something I'd like to say.
Go ahead, Al.
Well, first of all, I'd like to say that it brings me great joy that we have agreed upon disarmament and have decided to work together. And although I'm not officially a member of the National Committee, I would like to offer my wholehearted cooperation. And I pray that the renouncing of assassinations will have a unifying effect on
Al, watch out! My God, that was a close one. Al, are you okay?
Yeah, I think so, Johnny. Get me down to the police station.
Hey, what for?
Some of those gang leaders are still out to get me, and this meeting hasn't changed nothing. Let's go, Johnny. At least I'll be safe in jail till I can get a train to Miami.
Mr. Capone, did I get this right? You want me to put you in jail?
Yeah, that's right. I want you to lock me up, officer.
But what for?
Look! I just nearly got killed by some jealous gang leader, and I'm tired of murders and shootings.
Okay, I'll go see what I can do. Hey, Chief, come here.
Hey, Al, I'll get some of the boys to get you booked on the next train to Miami.
Johnny, I can't understand it. I'm willing to live and let live. I have a wife and a child that I idolize and a beautiful home in Florida. I'll tell you, if I could go there and forget it all, I'd be the happiest man in the world.
I know that, Al.
It was with this idea of making peace that I spent this time in Atlantic City. And I got the word of every gang leader there'd be no more shooting.
Yeah, I can't understand it myself, Al.
Johnny, I'm living on my own money. I'm trying to retire. You know I've been trying to get out of the rackets and forget it all. But no, they won't let me do that.
Once you're in, you're always in.
Capone never really considered himself a genuine criminal and lamented that neither the law nor society treated him fairly. Capone returned to Miami in 1930, and although his fortunes were declining due to the Depression, he personally provided free food for the workless throughout the Chicago area.
Buongiorno, Al.
Morning, Lucky. Hey, would you like some coffee?
Yeah, hey, boss, do you mind if I turn on the radio?
No, go ahead.
Good morning, this is Radio News Roundup, and Al Capone's Robin Hood legend continues to grow. It's been reported that Capone has opened a free food kitchen for those out of work on the south side of Chicago. It has been estimated that in the last 6 weeks, he's donated 120,000 free meals at a cost of $12,000. Meanwhile, the Chicago authorities have conducted a relentless campaign against Capone by wrecking his gambling houses and speakeasies.
And remember, you can never be too bad for God, only too good.
Hey, Lucky, leave that on.
And he said, "He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. He's standing at the door of your heart and knocking. Please open it and ask him to come in today." And so we've come to the end of another meditation moment. And as a final word, I would like to appeal to you listeners out there to help us to complete our work on our tabernacle. We're now in the process of putting in a sidewalk. So please, if you can help in any way, big or small, we would be very thankful. And I know that God will bless you for it. So send your donation to Meditation Moments. Or better yet, come and visit. And remember, God's on the throne and prayer changes things.
Lucky, get the car ready. I want to go see that place.
You mean you want to go and see that preacher woman?
That's right, Lucky. I want to go see her.
Virginia, the sermon today was so moving.
Thank you, Dr. Koga. Oh, I do hope that we'll get a response for the help I asked for about the sidewalk.
Yes, we'd better get the sidewalk in soon before the rains come. If we don't, we'll be up to our knees in mud.
Virginia!
What is it, Mrs. Huss? What's wrong?
Virginia, Al Capone is here!
Al Capone?
Yes, he's in that fancy car over there.
David, go inside.
Yes, ma'am.
Mrs. Huss, what on earth does he want?
Virginia! He heard you on the radio this morning, and he wants to donate $500 to fix the sidewalk.
Virginia, that's a miraculous answer to prayer.
But Dr. Koga, he's a criminal, a gangster.
Well, the Lord works in strange ways. Perhaps he's trying to make things right with the Lord. Look, Virginia, he's smiling and waving from the car.
Oh, I just can't. I just don't know what to do.
Excuse me, are you Virginia Brandt, the radio preacher?
Why, yes, I am.
I'm Lucky Luciano, Al Capone's business manager. Mr. Capone would like to donate this $500 to help you put in your sidewalk, ma'am.
Mr. Luciano, are those newspaper reporters over there?
Well, yes, I'm sorry about that, ma'am, but every time Al leaves his house, there's always a bunch of reporters following him.
Well, I'm sorry. If you'd just given your donation in the offering plate and I didn't know where it came from, I could have taken it. But with all this publicity, what will people say? I'm sorry, but I just can't accept it.
But lady, you don't realize how sad you're gonna make that man. Al, she wouldn't accept the money, boss. She said that...
Never mind, Lucky. Let's get out of here. Yeah. Come in, honey.
Here's some coffee, Al.
Thank you, May. You're such a wonderful woman.
Al, will you have to leave for Chicago soon?
I think so, honey. The grand jury returned the indictment on the tax charges, and the court says I need to appear next week.
Al, why are they trying to put you in prison?
I don't know, honey. Why, they could arrest most of the rich people in this country for tax evasion if they pressed the issue.
I just can't understand it, Al.
Yeah, I can't understand it either, May. To me, it seems like it's a lot worse crime to take the last few dollars some small family has saved, like those bankers have done, than it is to sell a little beer or a little whiskey?
I just think it's so hypocritical. You know, it's like those gang movies that they're making about you.
Oh, that stuff is terrible. They ought to take them all and throw them in the garbage can.
That's what I mean, Al. It's trash, but the public eats it up and asks for more.
You know, those movies are doing nothing but harm to the youngsters in this country.
I agree, Al.
I'll tell you what. You take all those kids that go to the movies. You remember reading comics when you were a kid? You know how they made you want to go out and be a pirate and look for buried treasure? Well, those gang movies are making a lot of kids want to go out and be tough guys. And they don't serve any useful purpose.
Oh, Al, I'm so worried about this court case.
Honey, there's nothing to worry about. Our lawyers have made an agreement with the federal attorney general, and he promised that if I cooperate, they won't press the heavy charges, and that I'll get off with a fine or, at the very most, a light prison sentence.
But at the trial, the judge said it was impossible to make a bargain with the federal court, and he completely overruled the agreement made between Capone's lawyers and the federal attorney general.
Order. Order in the court, please. Mr. Capone, if you would please stand. This court finds you guilty. Charges you with $50,000 in fines for tax evasion, $20,000 in court costs, and sentences you to 11 years in prison. 11 years.
You're gonna get yourself into big trouble.
11 years.
Once you're in, you're always in.
11 years in prison.
Oh, Al, I'm so worried about this court case.
Honey, there's nothing to worry about.
Even in prison, Capone's power and prestige were so great that the warden permitted him to have a luxurious one-man cell with a private shower and telephone, enabling him to continue to operate his organization from prison. However, certain authorities felt that this treatment was too good for Capone and other famous criminals, and were determined to establish a top-security prison of severe discipline. The result? Alcatraz, a bleak island in the middle of San Francisco Bay to which Capone was transferred in 1933. Capone's new home was an 8-by-4-foot cell, barely big enough for a fold-down bunk, a small table, a chair, a wash basin, and a toilet, and where he was to spend 14 hours out of every waking day. Capone's life became a constant din of clanging bells, routine, and hard work.
All right, everybody up, 6:30. That includes you, Capone. Come on, get up.
What's it like to be just another prisoner like the rest of us, Capone? Maybe I can say something to the guard so that he won't talk to you so rough. After all, you're used to the good life.
All right, quiet over there. If you want to talk, save it for your 3 minutes during your time in the recreation yard. Come on with me, Capone. You got work to do in the laundry room. Well, here we are, Capone. This is the laundry room. What do you think?
Hey, am I going to be working down here every day?
That's right, Capone. All day, every day.
Well, since I'm going to be working in this basement every day, you think it'd be possible for me to get my family to send a radio so that I can keep up with the news?
Well, I'm sorry, Capone, but radios are a privilege that we don't allow here at Alcatraz.
Well, how about some newspapers to keep up with what's happening in the world?
No newspapers allowed either, Capone. Don't forget Alcatraz is the only real world that exists for you for the next 11 years.
Hey, where should I put this dirty laundry?
Put it over there. Mr. Capone will be happy to sort it out and return it to you nice and clean. Won't you, Mr. Capone? I said, won't you, Mr. Capone? Mr. Capone, I must warn you that failure to answer a guard can land you in solitary confinement for offensive conduct, so you'll return the laundry nice and clean. Won't you, Mr. Capone?
Yeah.
I'm Mr. Capone. You're supposed to say yes, sir, when you address a guard. Do I make myself perfectly clear?
Yes, sir.
Oh, very good, Mr. Capone. And one more thing. Would you please sign this letter?
Hey, this is my letter to my mother. But only about half the things that I wrote are here.
Oh, well, Mr. Capone, you see, we wouldn't want any of the unfortunate and nasty things that happen here worrying people on the outside now, would we? So, well, we've taken the liberty to censor the outgoing mail. So, Mr. Capone, keep your letters short and sweet, and that way you'll save us a lot of trouble. And yourself, if you get my meaning. All right, 9:30. Lights out. Petrella, do you hear me? I said lights out.
I only got two more lines and my letter's finished. I'll just take a minute.
You punk. Are you talking back to me?
Hey, I wasn't talking back.
Hey, Simpson, bring the straitjacket. We've got somebody here who's going to be spending some time in the hole.
No, not the hole. No, not the straitjacket, please. I'm sorry, I won't say another word.
You should have thought of that, Petrella, before you opened your big mouth.
Here's the straitjacket.
Put it on that one over there.
Oh, no. No, please, not the hole. No, please. I'm sorry. No, please. Hey, no, listen, please, not the hole.
Hey, Capone, have you ever been in a hole yet?
You mean solitary confinement? No.
Oh, yes. Solitary confinement. Now that sounds civilized.
My God, what's that?
What's that? Oh, that's nothing.
You call that nothing? What are they shooting at?
Oh, you see, these are hell nights. These are special nights that the guards choose to practice their marksmanship.
Is this going to go on all night?
Yeah, that's right. All night. Keep good, Capone.
Oh, God. Please get me out of this place.
Everybody back to work, do you hear me?
Hey, Capone, where do you want this laundry?
Just put it over there and I'll take care of it later.
What's it like for the great Al Capone to be cleaning dirty laundry down in the basement of Alcatraz?
Well, if it wasn't so damp and badly ventilated, and the work wasn't so backbreaking, it'd be terrific here. But come to think of it, this place does have its advantages.
Come on, what do you mean? What advantages?
You see, friend, if I wasn't working down here, I might have to listen to you every day. But since I'm working here, I only have to see your face once a week.
Yeah, you can talk. You and the other big shot prisoners still think that you're better than the rest of us.
Hey, come on, lay off, I got work to do.
How come you and the other big-time gangsters don't participate with us in the prison strike?
If you're talking about those hunger strikes you guys have, you can continue to count me out. Those things ain't gonna change anything in this place, and about the only thing they're gonna do is make you hungry and get you in more trouble. And fella, I don't need any more trouble.
You don't want trouble, huh? Well, I'll give you trouble that you won't be able to avoid.
Hey, what are you, crazy? You're gonna get us both thrown in the hole.
Come on, Capone, fight!
Why, you little...
Don't hit me no more! I've had enough.
All right, Capone, get off him.
My nose! I think he broke my nose!
All right, boys, take Capone and put him in the hole.
Hey, he started it! He hit me first! I was just defending myself!
Oh, I know that, Al. Why, I was standing right here, so I saw the whole thing. But, you see, to my way of thinking, this guy, he's been in the hole several times already. But, Al, why, you haven't had your chance there yet, and... Well, you know, we can't put a prisoner in the hole for no good reason at all now, can we? And, why, you've been such a good boy since you came here to Alcatraz. It seemed just like a golden opportunity.
Hey, what are you talking about?
Well, you see, we've been waiting for this chance to put you in solitary confinement and let you rot there. All right, boys, take him away and have a nice 8 days. In the hole, Capone.
Oh, God, please help me. I need to keep my head. Yeah, I need to think about May. I'll probably get a letter from her soon. And Sonny, my sweet little boy, Sonny, they can't rob me of those memories of you. They can't take them away.
Hey, Capone, you still in there?
Uh,
Are my 8 days up yet?
8 days? Why, you're losing your sense of time, boy. Why, you're just starting your fourth. And this is Friday night. Have a nice weekend, Capone. Capone? Hey, Capone. Come on out now. Your 8 days are up.
That was hell. Please, don't ever put me in there again. I don't ever want to be alone like that again. That place was filthy. Do you think I could get a shower?
Oh, why, sure, Al. In fact, when the warden heard about the trouble that you had in the laundry, he thought that you might like a transfer to the bathhouse squad. Come right this way. Now, here's some of the guys that you'll be working with. Oh, my God, Capone, you stink. You stink so bad that you get cleaned up right away, do you hear me? And then get to work.
Hey, Patchouli. It's good to see you. How's it going, kid?
Ah, it's going real good, Mr. Capone. Right this way, I'll show you where the shower is. I want you to know that I think it's a real shame what they did to you, Mr. Capone. Hey, Mr. Capone, watch out!
No, don't stab me!
Doctor, could you show me which one is Capone?
Over there.
Thank you. Mr. Capone.
Yeah. What is it?
Mr. Capone, I'm Robert Carpenter, Inspector of Federal Prisons. I've been sent here by the government to interview the different prisoners at Alcatraz. Do you feel strong enough to talk?
Yeah, sure. The doctor said that I'll be out of here in a couple days.
Mr. Capone, in a report I read, you were stabbed by a man with a pair of scissors.
Yeah, that's right. Right back here, see?
Tell me, Mr. Capone, have there been other such attempts on your life since you've been in Alcatraz?
I've had a few fights defending myself, if that's what you mean. Oh, yeah, I nearly forgot. I had one guy try to strangle me a few years ago.
Mr. Capone, have you felt that your time here in Alcatraz has had a positive effect on your life?
Well, I've learned to read music and played a banjo since coming here. I even composed a song. It's called Mother. If you'd like, I could tell you some of the words. They really describe what a wonderful person my mother is.
If you'll excuse me, Mr. Capone, I really don't have the time. One more question, Mr. Capone. How do you feel you've been treated these past years since coming to Alcatraz?
I'm getting along all right. But I shouldn't be here. I'm here because of my reputation, because there's such a misunderstanding about me. People don't know the things that I've done to be helpful.
That'll be all, Mr. Capone. Thank you.
Oh, God. I know I've done wrong. A lot of wrong. But like that woman, the one on the radio, she said that we can never be too bad for you. Oh, God, if you can forgive me, please forgive me. Help me, help me.
On February the 5th, 1938, Al Capone was noticed to be acting strangely. He was taken to the prison hospital and diagnosed to have suffered extensive damage to his central nervous system. His condition became front-page news from coast to coast. On January the 6th, 1939, Al Capone, now partially paralyzed, was transferred to the newly opened correctional institution at Terminal Island, Los Angeles.
Good morning, boys. It's good to see you back again. Good morning, Al.
Good morning, Mr. Johnson.
How's the arm, Al?
Oh, sometimes it's okay. Sometimes everything on this side of my body goes numb. The doctors have some fancy name for it, but I think they're afraid to tell me that I sometimes just get plain paralyzed. But that's about what it amounts to.
I'm sorry to hear about that, Al.
Oh, but I can't complain. If I hadn't gotten sick, I'd still be stuck in Alcatraz.
Well, we do hope that things have been easier for you since you've come here to Terminal Island.
Thanks, Pastor Johnson. If you'll excuse me, I'll be sitting down.
Well, boys, shall we start off with a song?
Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified. Knowing not it was for me he died at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary.
That was great, boys. Really great. It sounded like it was coming from your hearts. Now, do any of you here feel that need for a savior? If so, stand up before your fellows and confess the fact. Okay, Bob. Nikki. Al. Freddy. Luigi.
And so Al Capone stood up and received Jesus as his savior. In 1940, Al was transferred to the penitentiary at Lewisburg, Pennsylvania, until the spring, when he was finally released and returned home to Palm Island, Miami. In his last years, he hated solitude and always wanted people around him. He would sit for hours in his pajamas and dressing gown out on the docks, smoking cigars and fishing, or playing with his four grandchildren in his Palm Island swimming pool. On January the 25th, 1947, at the age of 47, Al died, and so ended the Capone dynasty. A sad man who had lived a sad life, but which had a happy ending. Whom the Lord loved despite all of his sins and crimes, and to whom he came for salvation in his repentant years. Can God forgive such a sinner? Can God save such a man as he? I not only believe that God can, but that he did, and that we shall see a humbled Al Capone on the other side someday. An outstanding example of the love and mercy and the forgiveness and the salvation of the Lord.
Somewhere beyond this world, between heaven and hell, you've had to wait. From time to time I've seen you looking up and wondering, is it too late? Does anybody hear you? Does anybody care? Oh Lord, hear their prayer. Oh, there's hope where there's love and a prayer. There's light, oh, there's light where one candle burns. Because love reaches down.